former NFL quarterback Sean Salisbury, AM 790 in Houston. Sean, how you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Doing good, man. How you guys doing? All's well.
Yeah, we're great here. We're great. You know, all things are good. We had a good debate in the first hour about, you know, fixing the issue with the NFL. This Saints-Rams debacle here, Sean, is obviously been a big question all week. The commissioner finally addressed it today. What would your solution be to correct the problem?
Well, I would, number one, go back to, and in this Super Bowl, guys, we have five full-time refs now. We don't usually do that. Usually it's a couple or three. So they shouldn't be missing part-timers, and I don't want to make the excuse for those guys because they're part-time. I would make everybody full-time. Pay them more. The NFL's got enough. And make them do what a school teacher, what a coach does all off-season. It's your job, man. And if you decide you want to keep your law job, then you just can't be an NFL referee. You can be a fill-in guy, or you can't be an NFL referee. Make them do it full-time. We're in $1 billion Agreed. Business. The players, it's a full-time job for the players and coaches now. Why the hell wouldn't you make the referees that have the game in their hands there? That's one. Two is, we're going to fix something this offseason. You guys know, regardless of what the commissioner said, and we know how Sean Payton's feeling, we know how Saints fans are feeling, all that, and we know the guy can't miss that call. We get it. But something's going to get fixed, whether it's review interference calls. I would like to have a special guy in the stands, in the stadium, in every stadium, that he's responsible for buzzing down and saying you missed the call. I mean, just he's there in the facility, in a room with all the camera angles, and we just need to do that. We have the technology, we have the bodies, and they have the money. But if not, do you add a few more refs, or does that make it worse? But we got to give them a chance to review critical calls like that that are game-changing. Whether it's you get to review a pass interference call once a half or once a game, we've got to be able to extend this. If we're going to do it, do it. If not, then don't do any of it. So it's a problem. Everybody every week's got a bitch about the refs. It was more heinous this time because of the circumstances, but we're never going to get it 100% right. We're just not. It's not a robotic job, but we got to do better. We expect our players and coaches to do better. You can't be one of the guys who graded out well enough to get to this position and miss a seventh grade call. You just can't do it. So it'll get fixed, or close to getting fixed. Something will be done with the competition committee this offseason.
Sean, we were talking about this earlier in the show. Would you do it for every kind of call? Like holding, is that fair game? Offsides, false start, pass interference?
I don't see why offsides isn't.
Okay.
Holding would be difficult because you think, and I know the rule well, you could call holding every play.
Mm-hmm.
I would be able to look. I'd like holding on a pass play, meaning in the secondary or linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
We get that anyway, but to be able to review that, anything to do with the ball in the air, because the three things that turn games around the most are a turnover, a special teams play, good or bad, and pass interference because of the spot foul of the situation. So it is very, very relevant, but you're right. Do we do it all? Do we say, well, let's hold off on offensive line holding because, well, it would slow the game way down because you could actually get nitpicky and call it every play? I know they get most of them right. The blatant calls you can't miss. You're going to miss every now and then a guy holding or getting a head start on it. But that's the key for the competition committee, to sit in there and decide what's worth it and what's not, what will continue the flow of the game, and what will give us the best chance to get it right on a regular basis without the blatant ones. And the truth is, guys, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, in the interior, there wouldn't be as much, unless a guy tackles a guy at the quarterback, there wouldn't be as much complaining because it's not out in space or in the open like an interference call. They're so tied in there. We almost kind of expect them to hold once in a while. So I don't think the outrage would be nearly as bad as it was with this if we missed a holding call by the right guard.
Agreed. Sean Salisbury with us, AM 790 in Houston, former NFL quarterback. Sean, as a former quarterback, we look at Tom Brady. He's not the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. He doesn't have the best arm of any quarterback we've ever seen. He's certainly not the best athlete of any quarterback we've ever seen. And yet, he is, maybe unarguably, the best quarterback we have ever seen. What is the difference? What has brought him to the pinnacle when there may be guys more talented or have better traits than he does?
If we did a superstars competition, he'd finish near the bottom. If we just said, okay, we're going to run, jump, do the lift weights, do all the things that they used to in that, when Howard Cosell, they used to do a superstars competition on Wide World of Sports. He wouldn't finish anywhere near the top. Then you say put a helmet on and let's do some football-related skill set. He's going to win most of the time. And that's just it. You hit it. He's not only is he not the best at any of those, he's not even anywhere close to being the best at the most talented or the most athletic, but he's the best quarterback. And there is a difference. And it's inarguable. You can't argue it anymore. I think we're 5 years late to the party. I've been saying it. And I said it on Dan Patrick's show a couple years ago. I said, the argument's no longer if Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time. The argument is he the best football player we've ever had? That's the argument. I don't mean best athlete. I'm talking about just best football player with his impact. And guys, he's got Gronk will go to the Hall of Fame and Randy Moss we had for 3 years. Other than Belichick, I guess Vinatieri, but name me another, well, not even on defense, name me a player that's going to the Hall of Fame in 19 years from his team other than the guys I just named.
Yeah, not many.
You're not, you know, if you're lucky, maybe yeah. Vince Wilfork sneaks in there and, you know, four times after he's been up for the first time. But to me, it comes down to this. Guys, he loves it. I know it sounds odd, but don't you picture a guy like LeBron James or Steph Curry on their off day that they'd like go out, like we used to do in the seventh grade, go out to the outdoor basketball courts and shoot hoops when you don't really need to, when nobody's watching, all that lonely work and just grind?
Yeah.
That's Brady. I believe after the Super Bowl, after he takes a vacation with his wife and kids, he's going to be in some gym on his own where nobody's watching, working on his mechanics. He loves to do it. He loves the grind. He doesn't do it for the money, or he'd be the highest paid player in the league because he'd demand it, because he's worth about $50 million considering what he's done. He loves to play, loves to grind, loves to win. He's not retiring anytime soon. And there's nobody in the history of this game whose mechanics handle stand up under pressure like a good shooter, like a good putter on the golf course. His mechanics hold up under pressure better than anybody that's ever played the position. He is the best, and it's not even I don't believe it's debatable anymore. The question is who's second or third. It's not who's first. If there's a big picture on the Mount Rushmore, he owns about half of that Mount Rushmore with one face.
Sean, obviously there's no way to change history on this, but if there are Brady detractors still out there, you know what they would say. They would say that he's being coached by Bill Belichick, and he's one of the greatest football coaches of all time. Is there a way for you to evaluate Tom Brady and differentiate the kind of success that he's had because of him and the kind of success that he's had because he's with Belichick?
Well, I think it'd be hard to pin it down completely. I try to go because I think you got the perfect storm for them. You got the best coach of all time and the best quarterback of all time. And the scary part is that they've withstood the test of time. They've been together 19 years with Brady's durability other than one missed season. He spent half his career at the end of those seasons in a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And Belichick, who always has something different. Even though he's old school, he can defend new school offenses. He allows Josh McDaniels to play new school offense by getting in a gun, throw 50 times, run 50 times. But here's what it is for me, and I'll ask you guys this. And while I don't diminish Greg Popovich, but Greg Popovich won as many titles without Tim Duncan and David Robinson and Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker. What if, let's say Brad Stevens coached those players. Mm-hmm. Would they still win championships? I'm not diminishing the coach. In this case, if I said, okay, I'm going to give you Sean Payton those 19 years with Brady, would he have won three Super Bowls, four Super Bowls? I believe probably. Maybe not been to nine. I think that's what separates Belichick. Some would have got to three or four or five, not nine. That's why he's the best coach. But if Belichick had me as his quarterback or if Brian Hoyer was there for 10 years, he probably wouldn't have made a Super Bowl.
Right.
So I think that answers it. And while coaches are important and you need both, and I'm not diminishing either one, you can the chicken or the egg, whatever you prefer. But one thing I do know is when there's pressure on, you got to drop back and you're getting hit in the mouth, the coach is on the sidelines calling the player. The player's out there executing it, and he's done it with all kinds of different bodies. If you ask me who I would take first, and you gave me a coach that's good, not some guy that got fired after 1 year and never coached again, give me a good coach. I'll take the quarterback first, the player first, and the coach second. I think it's safe to say that Bill wouldn't have been to nine without Tom, and Tom wouldn't have been to nine without Bill, but I believe Tom still could have gone to four or five if he had a Sean Payton or a Sean McVay or a Doug Peterson as his coach, and Belichick's the best of all time.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's great. It doesn't matter who. You'd always take the great quarterback over the great coach if you had to.
Doubt.
No doubt.
No question.
Let's talk about the other side of this, because you got the young quarterback in Jared Goff and the young coach that, you know, I love it because there are a lot of the Sean McVay haters that when the playoffs started were like, well, what? Because everybody was annoyed that everybody wanted something like Sean McVay. And a lot of the haters, well, what has Sean McVay done? He's never won. Well, it had only been 1 year. I mean, what did you want him to win? It was 1 year he went to the playoffs the first year. Now he's in the Super Bowl, so the Sean McVay haters have had to shut up. And while nobody's going to compare Goff and McVay to Brady and Belichick, these two guys together have done a hell of a job in a short amount of time.
Yeah, and it's a hell of a start. And if you don't think coaching matters, take Jeff Fisher's offense and enter Sean McVay, and look what Jared Goff's done.
That's right.
I mean, just look at the impact of, and I haven't played the position. It's really important that somebody that believes in you lets you know that. And I think not to kiss your butt, but it's also critical when necessary, but lets you know it's okay to put your arm around a guy and build his self-worth. And I think that McVay's proven he's a self-esteem, self-worth builder. I remember Jackie Slater, Eric Dickerson, two or three Rams, former Rams players that when they met Sean McVay for the first time when he got there, you know, oh, who's this young guy? You go in with a little bit of attitude, you meet him. And they said when they sat down in a classroom with him and talked football, they realized he was the right guy for the job. Wade Phillips told me the same thing. Before the very first season when Wade was hired as a defensive coordinator. So what he does, he's able to demand respect without asking for it. Like some people force leadership, he doesn't. And that's important when you walk into a room that you're not begging for, hey, guys, look at me. It's that here's how we're going to do it, and everybody's not going to be treated the same, but the rules are going to be the same, and we're going to do some things that other people, you mentioned the haters. The thing about Sean McVay, he doesn't care about the haters. He does not care about opposition. He's just going to do his gig and stay the course. Even after last year, they learned something from that loss in the playoffs. This is amazing to watch. The key for me is how will Goff, he overcame last week's first half jitters. Mm-hmm. How will he do if they're down 21-3 in the Super Bowl with the GOAT standing across from coach and player? Will he be able to overcome that? Because they are real. This is not just another game. It's different. So, but I'm Goff and what he's done and what Sean McVay's done, he's got him in a Super Bowl, in the playoffs twice, got him in a Super Bowl in year two with Goff since he's had him. So take a look. If he impacted it fast, just like Belichick and Brady did when he got in there. So it's going to be fun to watch. It's the old guard against the new ones. We'll find out who's better prepared, but quite frankly, it's going to come down to execution because both coaches will put in a game plan that's worthy of beating the other. Now you just got to go execute it.
Who you got in the game there, Sean?
I got the Patriots. I just, you know, they're old. They're not very good. so everybody says, and they're sitting in this is their home. While everybody else is like, oh, we're in the playoffs. Now what? They're, of course, we're in the playoffs. We're going to go take care of business. They lost last year, so they think about that. You know, they don't need incentive. They create their own incentive in their own building. I just think when it gets right down to it, that their scheme will be a little bit better and they'll execute it a little bit better, although the Rams are a more talented team. And I have not seen the day. I haven't picked against Brady in a Super Bowl yet. I'm not going to start until he proves to me he doesn't handle the pressure. And he played well enough throwing 500 yards last year to win. If it's not for the strip sack fumble, they probably go down and score. I'm going to take Brady in the battle. I think the Patriots can make that other team one-dimensional. And if the Patriots are one-dimensional and that dimension is Brady, they can beat you. I'm going Patriots, but a thriller like 31-27.
Sean, enjoy the game, man. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Always appreciate you guys. I look forward to it. Thank you.
You too. Thanks, Sean Salisbury.